The following is paid commercial programming. Third-party rankings are no guarantee of future investment success. Working with a highly rated advisor does not ensure that a client or prospective client will experience a high level of performance. Investment performance is not an explicit criterion because clients' investment goals differ. These ratings should not be construed as an endorsement of the advisor by any client. Generally, rankings are based on information prepared and submitted by the advisor. Statements saying that we told our clients to be out of the market in 2008 refer to recommendations made by NMWKM's principals while employed at Eagle Strategies LLC. The team that manages accounts at NMWKM are the same individuals with that responsibility at Eagle Strategies and at Cambridge Research from 2009 to 2011. NMWKM was created in 2011 and uses the same exit strategy. A more thorough disclosure of the criteria used in making these rankings is available by contacting NMWKM Advisors LLC.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for Money Matters. And here's your host, Ken Moray.
We're in the money. We're in the money. We've got a lot of what it takes to get along.
We are in the money. The skies are sunny. And old man recession, you are through. You have done us wrong. Well, hello, 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 everybody, and welcome back to Money Matters with Ken Moray. And of course, I am your host, Ken Moray. And this is the show where we talk about everything and anything in the world of retirement planning. We talk about your 401k, we talk about Social Security, we talk about how to pass on to your greedy, unwashed, undeserving heirs the fruits of your labor, and we talk about a ton more. But before we go one step further, let me introduce myself. I am Ken Moray, the host of Money Matters with Ken Moray. Thank you, Jack. I have been a certified financial planner professional for the last 20 marvelous, wonderful, and very exciting years. And all of the ideas that we talk about on this show, these are the very same ideas we talk about with our beloved and most valued clients.
I love it!
I certainly do. And as our the firm that I, we that sponsors this show, our firm is called Retirement Planners of America. And we specialize in retirement planning. So our clients are primarily people who are over 50, who are retired or retiring soon. So if that's you, this show is designed for you. And I can tell you, not to brag, but just to inform you, that Barron's named moi, your faithful host, one of the top 100 independent financial advisors, actually now for the 8th year in a row. My goodness, they sure know what they're talking about, in my opinion. Anyway, let's go over what we're going to talk about on this, our weekly excursion into the land of retirement planning. So first of all, we got some very, very good news on the economy on Friday. 266,000 jobs. You know, I was watching all the talking heads, and they're like, where are these people coming from? I thought we ran out of workers. So apparently they're not looking at all the people who have not decided to go back into the workforce who are now deciding to go back in. There's about a third of the workforce that is still on the sidelines. So these people that apparently know what they're talking about are missing out on that little detail. But then in addition, we had China say they were going to reduce some of the tariffs that were their counters to the original tariffs that President Trump put on them. So China blinks. Where does that take us? So a lot of exciting stuff to talk about where we go from here. Now, also this week, want to talk with you about what to consider before you buy a long-term care policy. Okay, and we have eight, maybe nine things to think about, to consider, so that you can be an informed consumer. Now, also, one of the most important things that we talk about with our clients is Social Security. For many people, it is one of the largest amounts of income sources that they have during their retirement. And so strategies on how to do that is very, very important to discuss and understand. So we're going to do that this week. And if you have questions with regard to Social Security, you can email them to me. I'll endeavor to answer them. My email address is ken@rpoa.com. And if you send me your questions, I'll endeavor to read them on the air. And this week, we've got two or three questions that we'll answer. Now, if you send me a question that I can't answer because it's too difficult, then I just won't read it on the air. That's all I'll do. If you stump the host, your question will not be one of the ones that makes it on the air. Now, okay, now the other thing also, as you know, ladies and gentlemen, is because we work with people who are retired or retiring soon, we believe that you should be more conservative in your approach to investing. Okay, we believe that you should be diversified as opposed to concentrated. We believe you should rebalance your portfolio on a quarterly basis. We also believe that you should concern yourself with bear markets. Okay, and buy hold, which means you buy a diversified portfolio, you rebalance it, and you let it go, is what many people think is the best thing to do. But we think it's an incomplete strategy for those of you who are within 5 years of retirement or 5 years after. So if you're in that 10-year period, we believe you should also have a sell strategy on top of that to protect what you've built, what you've grown to, so that you can stay retired or retire if you want to. And so I want to go over with you, I wrote a book called Buy, Hold, and Sell, coincidentally. And in my book, I have the myths of buy, hold, as I call them. And this week, I want to talk with you about buy, hold myth number two, which is don't miss the 20 best trading days. So what they tell you is that, you know, you shouldn't sell no matter what the market's doing. It's going down 57% like it did in 2008, the S&P. Well, guess what? Don't sell because you know you don't want to miss the 20 best trading days and then all your returns evaporate. To me, that's nonsensical, but some people think it makes sense. I want to debunk that myth for you later on in the show. We'll have some fun with that and give you some historical perspective. Now, you know what, Jack? Most shows would actually stop right there. Most shows would say, you know what? If we did just that, we have done more than our listening audience could possibly want from a financial show.
Somebody stop me.
Don't you dare stop me, because on this show, do we only go where people expect us to? Of course we don't. We boldly go where no financial show has gone before, and therefore, at about 10 till, we will have our estate tip of the week. Now, this week, we're going to talk about the risk of joint bank accounts. You know, we have many clients and many of you listening who have the desire to have a joint account with one of your children, you know, in case you become incapacitated and you want them to have access to money to pay your bills or whatever. Okay, so there's validity to that notion. But let me tell you, there are some significant risks associated with it as well. So at about 10 till, we will have the risks of joint bank accounts. Okay, something very exciting to look forward to. I'm sure you cannot wait. Now, before we go one step further, I want to tell you that we have three daughters, and they're all full grown at this point. One of them is married, and the middle one they live in New York, and then my youngest is in graduate school. She's done with college. And so Thanksgiving, you know, it's kind of the competition, as many of you know, between the parents of, you know, the other parents, right? And so our two older daughters had Thanksgiving with the other parents, which we love them. They're great. But it was the other parents that got them for Thanksgiving. So we didn't know what to do. We didn't want to stay home and commiserate that we're all by ourselves with no kids. So we decided to go to this place in the mountains and just kind of relax and get away. And so while we were there, what was interesting was there were all these other couples who were there as well. So I kind of looked at my wife and I said, you know, this is like the island of the misfit toys, you know, because we were all walking around saying, so how come you're here? Well, because my kids are with the other parents. So it was all these sad orphan parents who are by themselves with no kids. Anyway, we'll get revenge. They're going to be here for Christmas, and we'll have them to ourselves then. Anyway, let's talk about the 266,000 jobs. I mean, this is really remarkable. You know, I mean, a lot of the economists were talking about how, you know, we had run the course of the job creation. It can't continue. You know, it had trended down to 150,000 jobs a month. And that was like, okay, you know, that's still a good number, but we're going to trail off because we are at full employment. And then, wow, bam, 266,000 jobs. Oh, my gosh, we're accelerating. And, you know, so how can this possibly be? Well, there are a lot of people. See, the unemployment rate, which currently it's dropped to 3.5%, is a reflection of the people that want a job. Okay? So the idea behind that is that you're only unemployed if you want a job and you can't have one. All right? So if there are 100 people and 50 of them want to have a job and the other 50 are like, you know, I don't want to work anymore. I'm done. Well, then only 50 of them are unemployed. Okay. But the problem with that number is that those other 50 may decide, you know what, I want a job now. You know, the market's good. I can get some pay here. I can get a good paycheck. I'm going to go back into the workforce. And so those people are coming back into the workforce. And they represent about a third of the age group that could be employed. So there are still, yes, there's still a lot of room to grow with jobs in this country. It is marvelous. And then at the other side of it, we have China that blinked on the negotiations. They came to the table with, okay, we're going to reduce some of the tariffs that we had put back on you to retaliate. And I'm sure that's part of the negotiations that they're talking about. So that's a positive thing. So basically, if you can't tell, I'm quite bullish about where we go from here. And I've been saying this for several weeks now. We view that the markets, the S&P 500, will be up a year from now from where it is today. We're going to set new highs, quite a few of them, we believe, between now and election day of next year. Now, between now and then, there will be the tweet that comes out that causes the market to drop 400 or 500 points. And yes, that's part and parcel of the whole journey that we're on right now. But overall, we think it's a positive thing. Now, having said that, that does not mean that you should pin your ears back and go for it and abandon all caution and take massive amounts of risk, okay? We still believe that you should only take as much risk as is necessary to accomplish your financial goals, okay? Because when I talk optimistically like that, inevitably I have clients who'll call me and say, so should I be more aggressive now if it's going to go up like that? And I'm like, no, you should not. You should stay within the risk profile that is appropriate for you. And so I'm giving you that same counsel, ladies and gentlemen. It is important that you don't take more risk than is necessary. Now, how do you,
no doubt about it.
No doubt in my opinion. Now, how do you determine how much risk is appropriate for you? Well, what I would recommend is you go to our website. It's rpoa.com. And we have videos, we have articles, we have podcasts on there. And what you're looking for is what we call the hurdle rate. So the hurdle rate is the rate of return you need to earn on your money, in our view, to accomplish your financial goals. And that determines how much risk you should take. And from there, we go about constructing a portfolio for you. Now, also, if you'd like, we can do that for you. We can work with you if you'd like. And you can go to one of our seminars. We have seminars near you. You can find them at on our website. Again, it's rpoa.com. Or if you'd like, you can visit with one of our retirement planners, and they can sit down with you and help you to do that as well. We also will help you to calculate what we call your magic number. So the magic number is how much money do you need to retire on to support your lifestyle in our view. And so we'll help you to calculate that number as well and help you to see if you can retire or not. So a lot of great stuff. Go to rpoa.com and sign up for a seminar near you, and we'll look forward to seeing you there. All right, we are going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about what to consider before buying a long-term care policy. So stay tuned. This is Money Matters, and I am Ken Morafe. La la la, dun dun dun, dun 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 dun, and we are back. This is Money Matters with Ken Morafe, and of course, I am your host, Ken Morafe. Thank you, Jack. I am a senior retirement planner at Retirement Planners of America, and we are a firm that specializes in retirement planning. And Forbes named our financial advisory firm, Money Matters, one of the top 100 wealth managers. And we're very proud of that, of course. But, you know, without our clients and without our beloved and most valued clients, we would be absolutely nowhere. So we know which side of the toast our butter is on. So you clients that are listening and those even that are not, we love you. We thank you. We are honored and privileged. And if you are not a client, you can go to our website and you can find out more about us. It is rpoa.com. And when you're there, you can see all kinds of articles and videos and podcasts on the subject of retirement planning. So if you're within 5 years of retirement or 5 years into retirement, if you're in that 10-year period, we think it's the most important period of your entire financial life. And it's a time when you need to make some very, very important decisions that will impact how your retirement goes for the rest of your life. So making informed decisions is important, and we want to help you to do that. And we have it on your on our website, rpoa.com, and also on this show. And any way we can help you, we'd love to do that.
I don't know how to say I thank you, except I thank you.
Well, you're very welcome, Frankie. So in that vein, one of the things that is very important in our view is to look at long-term care insurance. And, you know, a lot of times people say, well, you know, it's very expensive, or what should I think about if I'm going to buy that? You know, all those kind of questions. Well, one of the first things you want to think, and it's very interesting, you know, I found with our clients that the people that can most afford it, you know, our wealthier clients are the ones that want to buy long-term care insurance, and they're the ones that don't need it as much. And our clients that don't have as much money, they tend to be the ones that don't want to buy it, and they're the ones that need it more. So it's kind of a reverse, but I get it. It's not cheap, right? So you got to think about that. So, but the annual cost, just to put things in perspective for you, the annual cost of a semi-private room in a nursing home is more than $88,000 a year in Orlando, Florida, according to Genworth. An insurance company. $88,000. How are you going to pay for that? That's a lot. And a private nursing home room is almost $95,000 a year. And 44 hours a week of home health care services would run about $42,000 per year. And you know what? Medicare does not cover any of those costs. So I dare say that most of you listening to this show cannot afford those kinds of expenses. So, you know, a lot of times we call long-term care insurance portfolio insurance because you're the worst enemy to your financial well-being. You know, you could get incapacitated or need long-term care, and man, those expenses could wipe out your retirement savings. Now, let me give you these, again, according to Genworth, a healthy 65-year-old who bought a policy today would pay about $2,500 to $4,000 a year, but the cost varies considerably based on location, based on your age, based on your health, your gender. Women pay more, okay, and the amount of coverage you get. So, and a long-term care policy won't cover all situations that are not covered by Medicare. So don't misunderstand. They won't cover everything. So before you buy a policy, here are some things for you to consider, all right? Now, the first thing is investigate the best option for you, okay? So talk to somebody that knows these things, okay? And certainly it's self-serving, but I can tell you that our retirement planners are educated in this topic. So if you'd like to talk to one, again, our website is rpoa.com. And what we do there is you want to talk with somebody who is not interested in selling you a policy. You want to talk to somebody that is unbiased, and that's what we are. We're not going to try to sell you anything. We're going to give you advice, okay? So you need a seasoned advisor who's independent and who can allow to look at all those options. All right, that's number one. Number two, compare options or compare different policies and read the fine print. Okay, so you want to know how long is the exclusion period before the policy begins paying benefits? What capacities must you lose to even get paid? How many years of care are covered? And you should investigate these policies yourself. The situation, it's very complicated. And again, if you have help with that, it'll help you to navigate through all of that. The third thing is to look at the companies themselves. You know, one of the things we always say is you don't want your company to die before you do, right? So that would be a drag, right? So many companies have left the market in recent years. Long-term care was something that people underestimated how much it was going to cost. They didn't price the policies well. It was very competitive, and a lot of companies, have gone out of business. So be careful the company you're working with. The other thing is, you don't need to go top of the line. You don't need all the bells and whistles and everything else in your policy necessarily, okay? Now, even if you can afford it, it doesn't mean you need it. So again, figure out what exactly you think you need and then only pay for that which you think you need, right? And the other thing also is don't stop paying premiums, okay? So if you have a policy currently and you're looking at a different one, don't stop paying policies on the existing one, even if you think it's bad or expensive or whatever, because until you get the new one, you don't want to have a period where you are not insured and then something happens. That would be disastrous. So while you're looking at others, make sure you continue. A couple of other things here. Don't keep your long-term care plans a secret, okay? Make photocopies of the first two pages. Give them to someone, your children, or somebody who's responsible. Also, apply earlier rather than later, okay? So the younger you are, the cheaper it is. The healthier you are, the cheaper it is, okay? So if you can actually, the longer you wait, the more expensive it gets. And if your health changes, then you can't get it at all. And then the other tip I'd give you is to look at policies for couples, okay? Because if you're married, you can get a policy that insures both of you, and couples have the options there, give you shared benefits, and that can save you a lot of money as well. Okay, so just a few tips for you. Now, again, if you go to our website, it's rpoa.com. We have information on there where you can sign up to go to one of our seminars. You can go to where you can visit with one of our retirement planners. You can watch videos, podcasts, educate yourself. Lots of information on our website. It's rpoa.com.
Shazam.
Shazam is right, Gomer. And so now, if you go to our website, rpoa.com, as I mentioned, you can also sign up for one of our seminars. And we have seminars near you. If you can hear my voice, then there's probably one within a few miles of you. And we have them relatively frequently. At the seminars, I'll give you a big inducement to go, all right? Because at the seminar, we will have our now world-famous oatmeal raisin and chocolate chunk cookies waiting for you. Now, you'll notice I said chunk. I did not say chip. You know, chip cookies are made with, they're formed, they're made with paraffin, it's wax. You don't want to eat wax, that's gross. You want to eat real chocolate that forms its own shape, that melts all over your face and gets on your clothes, and your person you're with is looking at you like, what are you, 5 years old? And you're saying, yes, I am, I'm eating my cookies right now. And you're learning about your finances. I mean, what more could you ask for? Man, I want one of those cookies right now myself. Now, if the cookie is not enough to induce you, then let me tell you what else you'll learn at the seminar. First of all, we'll talk about, do you have enough money to retire on? We call it your magic number. We'll help you to calculate that. We'll also talk about, since it's nearing the year end, 5 strategies you can use to reduce your income taxes this year. We'll talk about how to maximize your retirement cash flow. Should you roll over your 401k? When should you take your Social Security benefits? We'll talk about the fact that the IRS... Ouch. Yeah, those guys, they want to tax 85% of your Social Security benefits. We'll show you how to beat that if it's at all possible, and tons more. So go to our seminar, find out more about us. It's all at rpoa.com. All right, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about Social Security strategies. So stay tuned. This is Money Matters, and I am Ken Morafe.
I wish I had millions of dollars and nothing to do but just buy pretty presents for you.
Money. And we are back. This is Money Matters with Ken Morafe. And of course, I am your host, Ken Morafe. Thank you, Jack. I am Senior Retirement Planner at Retirement Planners of America, and we're a firm that specializes in retirement planning. And I've been a certified financial planner professional now for the last 20 marvelous, wonderful, and very exciting years.
I've been good.
Yes, I do. And all of the ideas that we talk about on this show, these are the very same ideas we talk about with our beloved and most valued clients. And, you know, we love our clients so much. And primarily we work with people who are over 50, retired or retiring soon. And we are so blessed in that regard. Now, let me tell you something. Financial Times named our financial advisory firm one of the top 300 registered investment advisors actually for the third time this year. And while we are honored and flattered by that, without our clients, we would be nowhere. So all you clients, thank you so very much. Yes, a big kiss there. Now, we're going to talk now about Social Security strategies. And what I try to do here is answer questions. So if you have some, go ahead and email me your questions at ken@rpoa.com. And I'll endeavor to answer your question. But if you ask me one that's too hard, I just won't use it, okay? Because I don't want to be embarrassed on my own radio show by not knowing the answer. So there. So let's start out.
A lot of this is ad-lib, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It's totally ad-lib. Now, one of the things that I like to do with these questions is I like to lump them into one topic, okay? So we kind of say in a theme. So on this show, we're going to talk about divorced spouse benefits. So first question, if someone starts drawing Social Security based on their ex-spouse's earnings, does this reduce the ex-spouse's benefit? The answer is no. Let's use the term husband and wife instead of spouse because that'll help to clarify it. If the ex-wife applies for divorced spouse benefits based on her ex-husband's work record, the ex-husband's own benefits will not be reduced. Okay, so the fact that she's collecting on his does not reduce his. Okay, so next question. This one is kind of a hypothetical one here, I think, maybe. Anyway, I'll read it. So let's say we have a man named John. Okay, let's do that. And John has been divorced before and is currently married. He is married to Janet. His ex-wife is Joan. Boy, this is a well-constructed question, I got to tell you. So Joan wants to draw a divorced spouse benefit based on John's record, but she's friends with Janet, his current wife, and she doesn't want to disrupt Janet's benefits. Can both Joan and Janet receive benefits because they were married to John? The answer is yes. Any benefits a former spouse receives does not affect the worker's current spouse's benefits, or any former spouse's benefits for that matter, as long as the marriages have lasted for at least 10 years. So the hypothetical on that one is that you've got an ex-wife who's friends with the current wife. She wants to collect on the husband's benefit, but is so conscientious she doesn't want the current wife's benefits to be reduced. Isn't that nice? It's good to know there are some nice people left in this world. But anyway, the answer is you can still do it, and then both of you will get full benefits. So next question, and I answered it just before this one, is how long does a marriage have to have lasted to entitle a divorcee to divorced spouse benefits? And the answer is, as I just mentioned a bit ago, 10 years. Okay, so here's the next question. How does a divorced spouse claim her ex-husband's benefits? All right, well, all she has to do is to apply for Social Security in one of the usual ways. Okay, so you can go online and you can go to socialsecurity.gov. Okay, it's all one word, socialsecurity.gov. Or you can call their number. I'll read it off, but you probably don't have time to write it down. But it's 800-772-1213. Or you can go down to the local Social Security office, either way. So you'll need to provide your name, your date of birth, your Social Security number if you've got it, and the Social Security number if you've got it of the former spouse, okay? You'll also need to provide proof of the date and place of marriage and the date of the divorce. If you have all that, then you can file for your divorced spouse benefits. All right, so those are some questions on that topic.
I'm glad we had this talk.
Well, Tom, I am too. And I hope none of you ever have to worry about divorced spouse benefits. I certainly hope I don't. Been married 35 years now, and I hope I never get divorced. I don't want that to happen. Anyway, one of the things that I mentioned is that our firm is Retirement Planners of America. And so, as the name implies, we specialize in retirement planning. So if you are thinking about retirement and you want to kind of get yourself organized for that, yes, or... Wow, there's a lot of you. Or if you are already retired and you want to kind of go over all your stuff and look at your game plan and see if you can improve on that, then what I'd recommend you do is you go to our website. It's rpoa.com. And when you're there, you can sign up for one of our seminars. We have seminars near you. We have a webinar you can watch as well that I think will be very helpful, to kind of a global picture. We have stuff on Medicare planning, Social Security planning, long-term care planning. We have what to do with your 401k on there. We have lots of great information that I think will benefit you. You also will have the option to sign up to visit with one of our retirement planners at no charge or obligation.
Cool.
Yeah. And if you do that, we'll schedule a time to visit. And if we can help you, that is just fantastic. And if not, that's fine too. So either way, no charge, no obligation, and we will part friends.
I think this is the beginning of a beautiful friendship.
And you know what? Bogey is right. It is the beginning of a beautiful friendship, and we'd love to do that. So our website for all of the above, we would love to be able to help you, is rpoa.com. All right, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to have our buy hold myth, which is, hey, you don't ever want to sell regardless of what the market's doing because you don't want to miss the 20 best trading days. Boy, is that dumb. Stay tuned. This is Money Matters, and I am Ken Morafe.
He's your guy when stocks go high, but beware when they start to descend. It's then that those louses go back to their spouses. Diamonds are a girl's best friend.
And we are back. This is Money Matters with Ken Morafe, and of course, I am your host, Ken Morafe. Thank you, Jack. And you know, if diamonds are a girl's best friend, then great financial planning ideas are even better, in my opinion, because if you do it right, I think you can buy a lot of diamonds. Now, you know, one of the things that we believe is that since our firm is Retirement Planners of America, and we work primarily with people who are retired or retiring soon, and so because of that, we believe that being conservative and protecting principal and being diversified and taking only as much risk as is necessary to accomplish your financial goals, all of those things are very, very important to us and to our clients, we believe. So because of that, we have developed a a strategy which we call buy, hold, and protect. And what I mean by that is that we don't think that buy and hold, which means you buy a quality set of investments, and then you hold, which means you hold on to them and you rebalance them periodically to keep them in the risk profile that's appropriate for you, and then your job is done. We think that's incomplete. That's two legs of a three-legged stool. And just like the three-legged stool, if the one of the legs is short or missing, you're going to have a very unstable stool. And the one thing you do not want to have is unstable stool. That's not a good thing. There's a joke in there, but I'm not going there, Jack. Sorry. Sometimes, ladies and gentlemen, I got to entertain myself here too, you know. But anyway, the buy hold idea, therefore, is that you just never sell because the market's going to come back. You're a long-term investor. You've heard all those kind of things. And I call those things buy hold myths. And in my book, Buy, Hold, and Sell, I listed all the different myths and that I think are out there. But buy hold myth number two is you don't want to miss the 20 best trading days, because if you do that, then your returns will evaporate. And so what they've done is they, you know, many of these people who believe in this philosophy have come up with these things where they look at 20-year periods and they say, if you miss the 20 best trading days, okay, so your returns go almost evaporate, okay? You cut your returns in half simply by missing those 20 best trading days.
You're now a persistent cuss, Pilgrim.
Yes, and therefore, because you don't know when those 20 best trading days are going to come, you should stay in all the time. That's the argument. Now, first of all, that's a ridiculous thing, okay? Because not, you know, if the idea was that you don't want to miss those 20 best trading days, then if you know which ones they are, then why don't you do the opposite? Why don't you just stay out for the other 980 bad trading days and just be in for those 20 good ones, and then you could make tons of money doing that. So that, it's ridiculous to even think that. But one of the things that we did some study, and we went back and we looked at the best trading days over the last 50 years. And what's really interesting, and actually going back to the Great Depression, and what's really interesting about it is that the best trading days, okay, happened, almost all of them, during bear markets. So that's very interesting. So in other words, when the market is falling the most is when you're going to have those big up days.
Wow!
Okay, so let me go over with you, for example, if you look at the best trading days ever, okay, and this is going back to the Great Depression, okay, these are the 20 best trading days of all time. One of them happened in 1937, and for those of you who don't remember, that was number 20. The market went up, actually, the S&P went up 7.5% in one day that day. That was a pretty good trading day, and that was in 1937. Now, in 1937, they had a terrible bear market during that time, and it was the aftershock of the Great Depression. It was like the second wave, okay? The 19th best trading day since the Great Depression was in 1932. Well, guess what happened in 32? That was the Great Depression, right? Then we had if we go forward, we had 1931, 32. So there's about six of them that happened during the Great Depression. Now, what's interesting also is that two of them happened in 2008. Okay, the fourth and fifth best trading days in history, going back to the Great Depression, we had one, October 13th, 2008, which was right when Bear Stearns was crashing and all of that. So that was 11.5% gain that one day. And 2 weeks later, there was another one, an 11% gain in one day in 2008 in October. Now, those days happened, you know, I would call those catching falling knives. There's an expression. You don't want to catch falling knives. So the notion that you want to be in for those 20 best trading days, I actually would say you don't want to be in for those 20 best trading days because they are sandwiched by a bear market. And if you were in to capture those, you would have had to lose a lot more than what those 20 best trading days represent on the upside, because 2008 went down way more than the 11% or whatever that one day represented. So our view is, why don't we just get out and protect what we have? And our strategy said to sell in November of 2007. Okay, this was a year before those really good trading days, but a year before Lehman collapsed, and before 2008 even happened, when the S&P dropped by 57% and many people saw their retirement dreams evaporate. And we don't want that to happen for you. We believe there's going to be another very, very powerful bear market coming soon. And as I mentioned, we don't think it's going to come before the elections of next year. You know, that's one thing that presidents and incumbent Congresses don't want to have is bear markets right before the elections. But after that, we're concerned about the amount of debt there is in the world. It's at historical proportions. We're concerned about all these synthetic products that are being used to mirror the markets with all these ETFs out there. So there's a lot of stuff happening with these negative interest rates. It's very concerning. We believe there's going to be a very bad bear market in the offing. And our strategy of buy, hold, and protect is designed to get us out before major damage is done.
Fascinating.
Very, Mr. Spock. And also, we think, very logical. And we want to help you, ladies and gentlemen. If you are retired or retiring soon, could you afford to see the value of your money go down by 20 or 30 or 40 or 57% like many saw in 2008 or in Y2K, the previous bear market? Do you want that to happen to you? So we don't want that for you. We want you to be able to have financial security. We want you to have peace of mind. We want your money to last as long as you do. And, you know, we consider your retirement your second childhood without parental supervision. So we want you to go play and have fun and relax and not worry about all this stuff. Let us do it for you. So our website
is... Oh, thank you, Master.
Well, Jeannie, you're welcome. So our website is rpoa.com. And if you go there, you'll find videos, you'll find articles, podcasts, you'll find all kinds of information on retirement planning. You'll also find the opportunity to visit with one of our retirement planners to help build your plan with you. We'll do that at no charge or obligation. You can go to one of our seminars. You'll find seminars that you can sign up for. We have lots of stuff available for you. Now, let me tell you, if you decide to go to one of the seminars, bring an appetite with you, because at the seminars, we will have our now world famous oatmeal raisin and chocolate chunk cookies waiting for you. And let me tell you, the oatmeal raisin, we make them with those plump, juicy yellow raisins. We put cinnamon in the batter. Are you kidding me? These things are a meal in and of themselves. They're 1 inch thick, 6 inches in diameter. I dare you to eat more than one of them. You can't. It's not possible. But maybe you can. I don't know. But learn about your finances at the same time. All of this is available to you at rpoa.com. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about how to pass on to your greedy, unwashed, undeserving heirs the fruits of your labor. So stay tuned. This is Money Matters, and I am Ken Morave.
Who wants to be a millionaire? Have flashy flunkies everywhere.
Did he say flashy flunkies?
Who wants the bother of a country estate?
Oh, I do.
Who wants to wallow in champagne?
No. Wallowing in champagne, not so much. It sounds a little sticky and wet to me. I'd rather not. But you know what? All that other stuff doesn't sound too bad, does it? Well, we are back. This is Money Matters with Ken Morave. And of course, I am your host, Ken Morave. Thank you, Jack. I have been a certified financial planner professional now for the last 20 marvelous, wonderful, and very exciting years. And all of the ideas that we talk about on this show, these are the very same ideas that we talk about with our beloved and most valued clients. And our firm is Retirement Planners of America. And so we work primarily with people who are over 50, who are retired or retiring soon. And if that's you, we would love to meet you, see if we can help you. No charge or obligation. We'll part friends regardless. Our website is rpoa.com. And, one of the things that I'm very proud of, but without our clients would not be the case, and that is that Barron's has named me, your faithful host, one of the top 100 independent financial advisors, actually now for the 8th year in a row.
To infinity and beyond.
And you're right, Buzz, to infinity and beyond. Yes. So let's go over our estate tip. So every week at this time, we have what we call our estate tip of the week. And that's when we talk about how to pass on to your greedy, unwashed, undeserving heirs the fruits of your labor. And this week, we're actually going to talk about the risks of joint bank accounts. Okay. And many of you, I'm sure, have joint bank accounts. And so we'll talk about that. But before we do, Jack, can you play it?
I know I'd go from rags to riches if you would only say you care. And though my pocket may be empty, I'd be a millionaire.
And, of course, that is Tony Bennett with Rags to Riches. And, you know, the estate taxes and probate and all that kind of stuff, it's actually designed to do the exact opposite. And we do not want that to happen to you. We do not want you to go from riches to rags. We want you to have lots of money for your greedy unwashed. And therefore, every week at this time, we have our estate tip of the week. Now, this week, we're going to talk about the risks of joint bank accounts. So you can have a joint bank account.
That ought to keep the little squirts happy.
Little squirts happy. That's what we want, right? You can have a joint bank account. You can have a joint account with anyone in the world. Okay? You can. But once you have that joint account, once you sign the papers, whoever is the joint account with you has 100% rights to that account. So you got to be careful here. Okay? In the eyes of the law, you are now equal owners of that account. So account co-owners, you have the right to spend, give away, transfer any of the money that is in that account without the consent of the other person. Okay? So let's talk about that. So the other thing that joint accounts have in many cases is rights of survivorship. So what that means is that the joint accounts hold the joint account holders' rights to the funds. In the event that somebody dies, they can take over it, the joint holder dies. They can take over that immediately. And be careful here because the joint account supersedes your will. So if your will says, I leave, you know, this account to X, but you jointly own it with Y, upon your death, Y gets it regardless of what your will says. Okay, so be careful about that. Now, the other thing that you have to be careful of with joint accounts is that there are potential tax triggers. Okay, so for example, when you put money into an account with your child, let's say, and you know, sometimes we have people who say, I want to have a joint account with my child so that if something happens to me, they can pay bills and help me out and do that kind of thing. Well, that's a great idea, but be careful here because when you put the money into the account, it's not a gift to them yet, okay? Because you still are the person who's in charge of that. You put it in, right? But if they ever take money out to spend on themselves from that account, and they take out more than $15,000, that is a taxable gift to you because you're the person that put the money into the account, okay? So you might have a taxable burden there that you were not ready for. The other thing is that you have to be careful because joint bank accounts open you to overdraft charges. You wouldn't want your greedy unwashed to overdraft the account, would you? Debt collection, because now you're subject to their creditors. If they have liens that are put on them, they can come after your money in the joint account. Judgments, garnishments, divorces. So all of those things are subject to this joint account, right? Because they're a joint owner and they have as much right to the money as you do, and so do their creditors and former spouses, etc. So now, if the motivation of a joint bank account is that you want to take care of somebody just in case, you can do that in other ways. Okay, so you can set up the account to be a pay on death. Okay, that's a different way of doing it. For elderly parents, you can set up durable powers of attorney, which will give access to the accounts in certain circumstances without giving them control of the money. For children, you can set up uniform transfers to minors accounts. So there are ways to accomplish your goal of having the money available without giving them the joint ownership of the account.
Okay? Very interesting.
It actually is very interesting and something that I think if you are interested in doing so, you should talk to one of our retirement planners about. That would be a good thing, wouldn't it? So if you want to do that, you can go to our website. It's rpoa.com. And when you're there, you can click on Meet with an Advisor. If you do that, we'll schedule a time to visit with you. And what we'll do is we'll sit down and we'll talk with you about Social Security strategies, retirement planning. We'll talk about income taxes, estate planning, just the gamut of the whole thing that a retired or retiring soon person might be interested in. We want to help you with all of that. And we'll do it at no charge or obligation. If we can help you, we are so happy. And if we cannot, then that's fine too. Either way, no charge, no obligation, and we will part friends.
Oh dear, that's too wonderful to be true.
Well, Dorothy, it is not too wonderful to be true because it is true. Now, as I've mentioned, we have two goals for our clients. One of them is we want your money to last as long as you do. And secondly, we want you to have financial peace of mind. And so if those two goals resonate with you, then once again, on our website, you can go and There's lots of information that we hope will help you to be educated and make informed decisions, but also resources that we can bring to bear to help you as well. So rpoa.com is our website. Now, you know what? This show's over already. I cannot believe how fast it's gone. I hope you have enjoyed it as much as I have enjoyed doing it for you. We'll see you next week. Same time, same channel. Bye-bye, everybody.
Is this the end?
Of course not. It's only the beginning.
Information presented should not be regarded as a complete analysis of the subjects discussed and should not be construed as an offer to buy or sell any of the securities mentioned. None of this show's content should be viewed as personalized investment advice. A professional advisor should be consulted before implementing any of the strategies presented. Different types of investments involve varying degrees of risk, and therefore can be no assurance that any specific investment or strategy will be suitable or profitable for a client's portfolio. The tax and estate planning information offered on this program is general in nature. Always consult an attorney or tax professional regarding your specific legal or tax situation. Sound effects or anecdotes should not be construed as an endorsement of Ken Morafe or MMWKM Advisors LLC. The firm only transacts business in states where it is properly registered or is excluded or exempted from registration requirements. Registration is not an endorsement of the firm by securities regulators and does not mean that the advisor has attained a particular level of skill or ability.